in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. You, we welcome and honor your presence in our midst. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. We receive divine illumination, insights, instructions, impartations by your word and your spirit. Let our lives be transformed. Shift us to the next and higher level. Let the grace for dominion, the grace to be a people of dominion, let that grace rest upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive wisdom for all round dominion by your word and by your spirit. Let no life remain the same. Grant everybody a change of story, a miraculous change of story, and a mighty testimony. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Is somebody excited? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Do we have people of dominion in the house? Now, if we do, we will hear it in your voice. You will give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say, welcome in God's presence. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Today is the grand finale of this powerful teaching series, A People of Dominion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible said God created man image and likeness. He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let us make man in our image means let's make man to look like us. In our likeness means let us make man to function like us. Hallelujah. And God did, and he said, let that man created have dominion over the three worlds, over the aquatic habitat, aquatic world, terrestrial world, and which one? Arboreal world, celestial world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then in 28, and God blessed them after creating man. The next thing God released was the blessing. The blessing is a divine empowerment to fulfill destiny. Divine empowerment for all-round progress, all-round success, all-round prosperity, all-round productivity. God blessed them. He empowered them. He enabled them. And how? By speaking. The blessing is released through what? God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. And that included the devil. Did you hear what I just said? That last part He said, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Was Satan not moving upon the earth at the time? So it included the devil. So Adamic authority is greater than angelic power. Satan is a fallen angel, right? Lucifer, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Satan, formerly called Lucifer before he fell, he rebelled outright. He was an angel. He was an anointed cherubim. The authority God gave Adam is even higher than the power that Lucifer has. Am I communicating? The power he had as an angel. Adamic authority is greater than angelic power. Praise God. That, look at it. It says, upon everything that creepeth, moved upon the face of the earth, including the devil. Glory to God. So we have dominion over the devil. I say we have dominion over the devil. So when you are fruitful or productive, when you multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, you can now have what? Dominion. Okay? Dominion is the resultant effect of being fruitful, multiplying, replenish the earth, subduing. All of that culminate in dominion. So God gave to man the dominion mandate. Hallelujah. We started looking at the laws of dominion. Glory to God. The laws of dominion. Job chapter 38, verse 33. Give me Job 38. Let's look at Job 38, verse 33. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? God was asking Job, canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Give me this in NIV, New International Version. There are laws that govern dominion. There are laws of dominion. Praise God. If you want to walk in dominion on this earth, in any field, there are exact laws that must be understood and must be applied diligently to arrive at that result called dominion in your field. Praise God. And these are the laws we are exploring. He said, do you know the laws of the heavens? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Hallelujah. Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you see that? Is there a connection? Yes. When you know the laws of heaven, when you know the laws of the heavens, you will be able to reduce those laws to regulate the happenings in the earth realm. You'll be able to use those laws to walk in dominion on the earth. God's dominion. There are exact principles. There are exact laws. A thorough comprehension of those laws, coupled with application of the same, we empower you to walk in dominion in any area of life. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Give me this in New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Glory to God. Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can it be clearer than this? So if you understand the laws of the universe, you'll be able to use them to regulate the happenings on earth. We are not victims. I say we are not victims of circumstances. We are victors over circumstances. Glory to God. So we started looking at those laws last week. What was the first law? Who still remembers? The first law of dominion. The law of what? Light. The light of knowledge, right? The light of knowledge. the light of knowledge. And we said this light is in two forms. There is a supernatural light of revelation knowledge of the truth that empowers you to walk in dominion. John 1 verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light will always dominate darkness any day, anytime, anywhere. Darkness represents ignorance. You cannot function in dominion when you are ignorant. Am I communicating? You can't dominate your field, your sphere of influence, your mountain. You can't dominate sickness, disease, poverty, lack, scarcity. You can't dominate devils and demons when you are ignorant of the truth of God's word concerning that area. Am I communicating? Dominion is the resultant effect of revelation knowledge of the truth, a thorough comprehension of the mysteries of God's kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is shrouded in mysteries. That's why Jesus told Peter that I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And these keys are in form of knowledge. They are in form of revelation knowledge of the truth. They empower you for dominion. So go for the supernatural light of revelation knowledge of the truth, the light of understanding. Don't seek to be known. Seek to know and you will be known. It's as simple as that. Glory to God. It's what God shows you. It's what God shows you from His word as you meditate and study. Those revelations He shows you. What God shows you in form of visions and revelation in the place of prayer, communion, meditation, that makes you a show. Am I communicating? Praise God. Nothing empowers like knowledge. Light imparts you with might that empowers you for your flight to a world of dominion. Glory to God. The second form of knowledge we looked at is, we say the first knowledge is supernatural, okay? Supernatural light. The first form of light is supernatural light of revelation knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Then the second light is natural light. Natural light of knowledge. For instance, you can't dominate, let's say, God have called you to the world of politics and governance. If you want to dominate in that field, you need to study. You need to be equipped with knowledge, natural knowledge in that area of leadership, in the area of governance and politics. You study. Am I communicating? You study about great leaders, study autobiographies of great leaders, great and successful leaders, because that's your area of calling. Praise God. I say praise God. This is important. The same thing, if you are called to the world of business, get books, buy books, go for knowledge in that area, study, get mentors, go for mentorship. Glory to God. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly what? Dividing the world of truth. Are you called to the world, to the medical world? Study. Be the best. Be excellent. Be diligent. Am I communicating? Go for knowledge, current knowledge, updated knowledge. You know, we live in what we call the information age. Take advantage of the knowledge we have on earth today is so much that in the next 1,000 years, if we are still on earth, people will still be learning from the knowledge that we have already on earth. There's an explosion of knowledge. The knowledge doubling rate is like 6 months. Every 6 months, new knowledge keeps coming in every field. So you can't afford to be ignorant. Cure your ignorance. You know, ignorance is the number one killer disease. It's the number one killer disease. It's not HIV. What's the number one killer disease in the whole world? It's ignorance. What is the cure? Knowledge. Praise God. So that's the first law, the law of light. The second one is the law of influence. And this second one had many other ones under, right? And we ended at the second one, the law of influence. We say influence is the ability to affect people's thinking, their mindsets, the ability to affect and alter or change people's thinking pattern, their mindset, their attitude, their actions, their words, the ability to affect it for good or for bad, because you can have good influence or bad influence. Praise God. That's influence. The ability to make people to buy into your ideology, your belief system, without using force or manipulation or cruelty. That's influence. And we established the fact that God wants his children to be very influential, because influence is a powerful weapon for kingdom advancement. Because leadership in one word is influence. Leadership in one word is influence. So if you want to be the leader in your field, then you must what? Gain influence in that field. It's so important. People follow influential people. Praise God. In every field, you must rise to the top. And we said there are like five pillars. We looked at five pillars, right? Of influence. There are more than five, but we looked at five last week. What are those pillars of influence? Number one, growth and transformation. Romans 12 verse 2, Luke 2 52. You must make up your mind to subscribe to personal growth and transformation, okay? The more you grow, the more your influence increases, okay? You must make up your mind to grow every day. Grow every day. Growth is not automatic. Growth is not automatic. There are certain ingredients that must be put in place for growth to happen. True of us. It is true in the physical world. It is true in terms of biological growth. For somebody to grow, there must be what? Proper feeding or nourishment, right? You must eat right, must drink water well, you must breathe in oxygen and all of that. So it's the same way. You want to grow mentally, you want to grow spiritually, there are certain ingredients that you must feed on every day. There are things you must do. You must make up your mind to evolve into superior versions of yourself through a lifelong commitment to continuous learning. Continuous learning. Enter every day as a learner. I learned this principle from Dr. Mike Murdock, the apostle of wisdom, they call him. Dr. Mike Murdock said, I enter every day. Is it 80% or is it 90% now? I'm trying to remember. He said, I enter every day 90% a learner and 10% a mentor. Does that make sense? He said he enters every day 90% a learner and the remaining balance 10% a mentor. So while he's mentoring others, pouring into others, it's just 10% too. He's spending 90% of his time, investment of time, energy, and resources into learning. Why? So that he can keep growing.
Why? So that he can keep evolving into superior versions of himself. Subscribe to personal growth, development of and transformation as a lifestyle. Keep improving until you evolve into the best version of yourself. Praise God. That is very key to influence. Your life does not become better by chance, by mistake, by luck. No. It has to be deliberate decision. Your life becomes better by choice. You make the choice, you make the decision, back it up by determination and deliberate action steps. Glory to God. Learn every day so that you can grow every day. Listen, if what you knew yesterday is the same as what you know today, that means you are not growing. Every single day, learn something new. My rule is that if I have not learned something new per day, I'm not sleeping. No sleep until I learn something new. Am I communicating? This is important. This is how you grow. You must make up your mind to metamorphose, to evolve into superior versions of yourself through a lifelong commitment to continuous learning, training, and mentorship. So go for training, relevant training, the right and relevant training in your field. Okay? Then the second pillar of influence is value and productivity. Make up your mind to be valuable. We say success is a reward for becoming a person of value, okay? Value talks about the degree of your usefulness. Okay, I'm talking of market value now, not intrinsic value. Everybody is intrinsically valuable. God created man as a valuable being, intrinsically. But there's what we call market value, okay? So value in this context is talking of market value, okay? Now, you must make up your mind to provide solutions, valuable solutions, useful and needed solutions to people's problem. Be a problem solver. Everybody is looking for who will solve their problem. The world is full of problems. Am I communicating? Make up your mind to be resourceful, to be useful. Value has to do with the degree of your usefulness, the degree to which you are needed and useful. Your ability to provide solution, your ability to solve problem. Praise God. Okay, productivity talks of fruitfulness. Productivity talks of the ability to produce the desired result. Okay, we said fruitfulness is one of the hallmark of discipleship. One of the hallmark of a disciple. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple if you bear much fruit. Praise God. So it's the will of God for you to be fruitful or productive. When God created man and blessed them, he said, be fruitful. The first thing he said is, be fruitful. Be fruitful means produce result. So produce result in your field. Produce result anywhere you are, any area God have called you. God does not like barrenness, okay? God does not like unproductivity. It's not the will of God. Discover your gift, okay? We said one of the major key to becoming a person of value is discover your gift. Discover your potentials, your capped capabilities, your area of competence. Am I communicating? Discover your gift, your talent, your potentials. Then develop it through training. Through training, develop it. It says, there's this saying, they say practice makes what? Practice. Okay? Sharpen your skills. Hone your skills. Praise God. Discover your gift, your talent, your potentials. Develop them. Your gift in its raw form will not bless many people. So develop them, okay? Take time to develop them. Can you use raw crude oil to fuel your car? If you use it to fuel your car, what will happen? Can even knock your engine. So raw crude oil, is it drilled? Yeah, drilled from the ground. Have you seen raw crude oil before? What's the color? Who knows? It's what? Greenish black like that. It has to be processed. It has to be developed. It has to be refined. Until your gift is refined, it will not be fine. When it is refined, the value increases. It gains commercial value when it is refined. Am I communicating? So, just like crude oil, it has to pass through refinery and undergo fractional distillation, right? My wife is a chemist, celebrator. She has masters. She likes organic chemistry. Me too, I used to like organic chemistry those days. Praise God. You know, organic chemistry, they teach you all those things. So it will go through that fractional in the refinery and all of that under heat and pressure, and then it will separate into so many products: gasoline, diesel, petroleum, premium motor spirit. That's what we call petroleum, right? PMS. And then look at the price of oil. The value increases. Am I communicating? So it's the same thing with your gift, your talent. Your potential. Don't just use it in its raw form. People will not value it that much. Develop it, refine it, sharpen your skill. Am I communicating? Look at comedians today. I gave example of comedians. Tell me the product and service that they are selling. Is their talent too? Their gift that they discover. They are making people laugh for a living. And look at some of them, multimillionaires, big boys. So are even earning money in billions. Just because somebody decided to discover their gift. Look at footballers today. Their gift. Am I communicating? Is it Ronaldo that they say he opened a YouTube account? In less than 24 hours, he has amassed over how many million? 20? Is it 20 million followers? In less than 24 hours. That's the power of influence. That is influence. And what brought that influence? He discovered his gift. He developed it. And then he put it to, that's the third key, deploy it. I say first, you discover your gift, your talent, and your potential. Second, develop it through training. Then number three, what? Deploy it. Deploy means put it to work, put it to use, put it to productive use. Then you duplicate it. You build systems and mentorship and all of that. Am I communicating? So number one, pillar of influence is growth and transformation. Number two, value and productivity. Number three, wisdom and excellence. We said whatever is worth doing excellently. Wisdom and excellence. Excellence is a language that kings understand. Okay? If you want to attract kings, if you are a business person, let me give you wisdom. Aim to sell your product and services to kings. The reward will be different. Yes. Can you compare somebody selling granite at Angwarukuba Market or Terminus to somebody that is packaging the granite and supplying it to governors and senators and millionaires? The same granotto is just the packaging is with excellence, and then it's being served to kings and nobles. Will they end the same? Driving is not the same. The person driving Governor Caleb Mutfwang Is he earning the same as the one that is driving Uber, Bolt? Eh? Or is driving from Jos to Mangu? Are they not all drivers? the photographers are not the same. The official photographer of Jagaban, is he earning the same as the regular photographer? Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Aim to serve kings with your product and services, your gift, your talent, your skill. Aim to use your valuable product, service, or your valuable gift and talent to solve problems for kings. The reward will be different. When Joseph interpreted the dream of the king's butler and baker, he didn't get anything, ba? But by the time he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, what happened? He became prime minister. When Daniel interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, what happened? So when you solve the problem of kings, you are rewarded with the reward of kings. Am I communicating? Imagine being the fashion designer of kings. The reward will be different. It will be different. There is a doctor in Jos, is a professor, one of my teachers. He's a consultant endocrinologist. He has a hospital, he's a specialist with diabetes. He has a hospital that the people that patronize his hospitals are governors, senators. Sometimes only 3 people come to the hospital, but the returns from those 3 people is like 300,000 people that came to Jute. So sometimes it's not by the quantity, it's by the quality of your customers. You know, sometimes one customer is enough. Pastor Mafe, just one customer you'll be sewing, you become his fashion designer. That's it, oh. You don't enter with that, oh. I'm telling you, just one. Sometimes you don't need too many, just one quality person. Am I communicating? Glory to God. So, and what is the key to attracting kings? Excellence. You can't be doing things anyhow, shabby, and expect kings to patronize you. For where? They won't. You need to be excellent. You need to be extremely good at what you do. Pay the price to develop competence. Pay the price to develop competence. Be diligent. Be diligent. Upgrade yourself. Be extremely good at what you do. Be exceptional. Glory to God. In every field, we have the best and the rest. You choose where you belong. Excellence is the key to prominence, eminence, and exceptional results. Okay? Then the fourth pillar of influence is wealth and abundance. Wealth and abundance. Listen, when we say kingdom wealth, it's different from materialism. You see, the anger, people that are fighting the prosperity message, their anger is actually against materialism. That even the Bible is against. Their real anger is against materialism. Sponsored by Mammon. You know, the Mammon, the demon, the god of materialism and all of that, god of greed, and there's a connection between greed, covetousness, and materialism. The real anger of those fighting the prosperity message is actually a misdirected anger. The real anger is actually against what? Materialism. Because one of the God ordained, if a major method God have ordained that the kingdom should spread through is through the prosperity, kingdom wealth. Wealth and abundance. Zechariah 1:17, cryeth through what? Cryeth saying, through what? Poverty. Poverty. Prosperity. My what? Cities or my kingdom shall be what? Spread abroad. You, God will not write another Bible for this generation. Listen, we must weaponize kingdom wealth. We must weaponize it. See, it's beyond I, me, and myself. It's beyond buying 5 SUVs, a Range Rover Sport, which one again? Lamborghini. It's beyond that. Listen, there is a kingdom agenda that requires finances to fund. You need to be thinking kingdom. That's why it's called kingdom wealth. Which one came first? Kingdom. The purpose of the wealth is for kingdom. It is money with a mission. It's not for self-aggrandizement. Mark, I oppress them. I don't suffer. Finally, I don't blow. You now bought a car. And you put customized plate number, IDB, I don't blow. Then you now drove it, park it in front of the compound of all the people that used to mock you. You now stood on top, their father. When I come out, see me, I don't blow. No, that's not the purpose of kingdom wealth. It's not to go and collect chieftaincy title in your village. Is to bankroll kingdom agenda. Is to finance the spread of the gospel. We are looking, am I communicating? Bontaka barakatai. Kingdom business is capital intensive. Require, if I, even this service itself, if Pastor Nenkuf should tell you the budget. Everything requires money on it. Am I communicating? Avalanche of good news broadcast. Is it free? No. Look at how impactful it has been. Almost every time you keep hearing glorious testimonies, people getting healed, people getting delivered, people getting transformed, receiving light. Even pastors follow us. They listen to us. Some call to let us know. Some share their testimony. Why some follow Nicodemusly? Am I communicating? These things require money. They say you cannot carry your money to heaven. It's true. But you can channel it into what? Kingdom business, and invest it there. And it will yield the greatest return in form of souls saved, souls transformed, souls impacted, kingdom advanced, and then you can now carry the souls to heaven. Is that not wise investment? So, wealth and abundance is a major pillar of influence. We live in a world that money talks. Am I communicating? The voice of the poor church is not heard. The voice of the poor church is not heard. Am I communicating? The wisdom of the poor church will be despised in this world that money rules. Money talks. The only thing the people of the world respect is money. Am I communicating? That's the kind of world we live in. Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor. Rich nations rule over poor nations. You don't see why Africa is subservient to other nations? Because of our economy compared to their economy. G7 nation, Nigeria no dey. No African country is there. G8, no African country is there. You talk of the top 10 poorest nations in the world. Almost all of them are from Africa. G20, only one African country is there, South Africa. Nigeria no even the G20. We know the G7, we know the G8, we know the G20. And it's not because Nigeria is a poor country.
bad leadership, bad management, right? Our legendary problem. Somebody rightly said, God has blessed this country. We don't usually suffer natural disasters like earthquake, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Felicia, all those hurricanes. We don't suffer those things here. God has blessed us. The only problem we have is chronic disastrous leadership. Chronic disastrous leadership syndrome. Praise God. That has been Nigeria's legendary problem. If Africa serve as a whole, praise God. When God wants to help a people, finally, he will give them good leaders. Eh? And there is one principle that if you accept you do something about it, the people will get the kind of leaders that they deserve. They once asked Pastor E. Adebo, Pastor Sam Adeyemi that asked him this question about Nigeria's leadership problem. He said he asked Pastor E. Adebo, highly respected, highly revered man of God, asked him about our leadership issue. Pastor E. Adebo then looked at him. He now answered him with a question. He said, if a group of armed robbers are told to elect a leader, who do you think they will elect? As Osama Adeyemi, he said, he understood. So in a sense, the people deserve the kind of leaders they get, right? Except there is a divine intervention. Praise God. Then the fifth pillar of influence we looked at is the supernatural. We say influence, real and lasting influence, has a deep spiritual root. Am I communicating? The supernatural, the wisdom and the power of God are key to supernatural influence. Very important. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Psalm 66 verse 3. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. Praise God. Now, right, number 6. There are 7 pillars of influence. I gave you 5 last week. I'll complete the 2 today. Number 6, the 6th pillar of influence. Do you want to influence your world positively for Christ? Character and integrity. Character and integrity. Character and integrity. This is non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Exodus 18:21. Character and integrity. When Moses wanted to appoint leaders, okay, when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was counseling him to appoint leaders to delegate responsibilities to, because Moses was practicing how to die premature. Him alone was judging over 3.5 million people. Is that not practicing how to die young? Post-traumatic PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder will have finished Moses, if not for Jethro's wisdom. Praise God. I say praise God. Sometimes, listen, you need to respect elders. Listen. You know, we young people, we know they hear. This young generation, we know you are anointed, but respect elders. Honor elders. Am I communicating? Calm down. Even in heaven, we have elders. Have you not heard of 24 elders? Calm down. Even in heaven, they are elders. Listen to their counsel, okay? He said, moreover, thou shalt provide. Look at the wise counsel that Jethro gave Moses. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men
This talks of ability, right? Competence, capacity, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Place such one over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over 50, rulers over tens. This was where the pastor by excellence, the legendary Yongichu of blessed memory, he received wisdom for homesell from this verse. Wisdom for what? Homesell. Look at it there. Rulers over thousands, cell leaders over thousands of people, cell leaders over 100, cell leaders over 50s, cell leaders over 10. This was where he absorbed wisdom for home cell that exploded his church, that led to church growth. This cell system, this was the verse that he got it from. So look at the characteristics of men. Number one, able men. Number two, men that are God fearing. This is talking of character. God-fearing men. Men of truth. He's talking of character. Am I communicating? Men of truth. Honesty. Hating covetousness. He's still talking of what? Character. Men that fear God. Men that tell the truth. Honesty. Transparency. Men that hate covetousness. That they hate greed and selfishness. They are not self-centered. They are not covetous. Am I communicating? Character. What is character? If you are writing right, character is a sum total of your personality. Character is a sum total of your personality. Your way of thinking, your mindset, your mental disposition, your perception, your perspectives, your attitudes and behavior. Character is a sum total of your personality, your way of thinking, your mindset, mental disposition, perception, perspectives, your attitude and your behavior. This is very, very important. And faithfulness is the cornerstone of character. Faithfulness is the cornerstone of character. Listen, credibility, your credibility depends on two things. Your credibility depends on two things. Number one, character. Number two, capacity. For you to be called a credible person, whether it's a credible leader or credible somebody, you must have these two qualities. Number one, character. Good character. Number two, capacity. Capacity talks of your competence, your ability rating. Am I communicating? But which one comes first? Which one comes first? Character is rated above your competence or capacity. Okay? Character comes first for several reasons. You know, some of these guys doing yahoo yahoo, they are very competent, hope you know. Some of these criminals robbing banks and all of that, there, some of them are first class graduates that Nigeria happened to them. No job. So they are now using their intelligence, they are using their competence, they are to what? To steal. Why? Because they lack character, right? You can be a very intelligent person, but without character, you will end up an intelligent criminal, an intelligent crook. That's why we say character comes first, okay? This is very important. Give me Psalm 78, verse 72. Let's look at Psalm 78, verse 72. David possessed these two qualities, okay? So he fed them. God chose him. God chose David to lead God's covenant people. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by what? The skillfulness of his hand. Which one came first? Integrity of heart. Followed by what? Skillfulness of hand. Now, integrity of heart is talking of character, right? Integrity. Then, Skillfulness of hands is talking of what? Competence, capacity. You need both, but character comes first, okay? So integrity comes first before your intelligence. Integrity comes first before intelligence. Integrity comes first before skill. Skill is very good. Skill has its own place. It's important. But skill without character and integrity, it makes a criminal, it makes a crook, it makes a 419, a fraudster. Praise God. What is integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing all the times. Doing the right thing all the times. Through your words, your actions, your beliefs, your behaviors. Doing the right thing all the time. Through your words, action, beliefs, and behavior. When no one is watching. Your character is who you are when nobody is watching. Your character is who you are in private, behind the scenes. Who you are in the dark. Who you are when no one is watching. Okay? Your reputation is who you are in the eyes of the public. Your character is who you are in private when no one is watching. The question is, if your character meets your reputation, will they recognize each other? Let me ask your neighbor. If your character meets your reputation, will they recognize each other? Okay, because your reputation has to do with what people think of you in the public, okay? People's opinion about you in the public, what they think of you and all of that. What you put up in public, that's reputation. But character is who you are when no one is watching. The real you, unmasked, unplugged. They are supposed to be the same, okay? So, be a person of integrity. In fact, the word integrity is from the word integer. Sameness, as in you are the same. In private and in public and in every place, you are the same, doing the right, the same thing. Am I communicating? Integrity talks about the quality of being honest, the quality of being reliable and trustworthy. So it talks of honesty, reliability, and trustworthiness. Okay? Everybody is looking for people of integrity to work with them. I say everybody is looking for men of integrity. There are a lot of rich men that are looking for people of integrity to commit certain things to them. The question is, can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? Can you imagine? Potiphar handed over his business enterprise to Joseph, and there was no allegation of fraud or embezzlement of fund. Did you read anything like that in the Bible? That Joseph stole Potiphar's money. He siphoned some of the money. Nothing like that. He was a man of integrity. Towering integrity. Praise God. Do you know even armed robbers are looking for people with integrity to help them hold their money? It's funny, but it's true. Everybody is looking for people they can trust. Are you trustworthy? It's a major key to influence. Listen. You cannot influence people truly in a real and lasting manner if you lack character and integrity. Initially, people can follow you because of your skill, because of your charisma. In a marathon race, character will beat charisma, hands down. Am I communicating? People may follow you because you are a person, you know how to move people. When you talk, you know, you are very charismatic. You are very skillful. But by the time they follow you a while and then they notice you lack character and integrity, they will stop following you. The key to lasting influence is what? Character and integrity. Billy Graham, the number one integrity preacher in America when he was alive, there is this his quote on integrity that I will never forget. He said, if you lose money, you lost nothing. You can regain it back. If you lose your health, you lost something, because health is important. But if you lose your integrity, you have lost everything. Says who? Billy Graham. Should I take it again? Billy Graham once said, if you lose money, you lost nothing, because you can get it back, right? You can make the money back. If you lose your health, you lost something. Health is important. But if you lose your integrity, you have lost everything. A good name is better than what? Riches. But yet, people spoil their good name just to make money. Meanwhile, scripture say a good name is better than what? Riches. You cannot dominate a system that is corrupt, plagued by corruption, and yet you yourself, you are corrupt. I want to take over politics, take over governor, take over common your departmental organization that they made you treasurer. You ate their money. They made you president, SUG, president of your department. You siphon fund. So which one are you taking over? Now, you are now carrying placard protesting that your leaders are corrupt, beginning with you now. Hey, they should give youth. They should give, you know, these people are too old. They are too old. They should allow youth. They should allow youth to rule. Eh? They should give us space. But look at you, at your departmental level, you're already manifesting traits of corruption. Stealing money, siphoning funds. When you get there, up there, it can only become worse. That's the truth. Because you lack character. You lack integrity. If you want to know people... See, let me tell you something. Let me make a statement. Money is an amplifier of character. Money is a revealer and an amplifier of character. If you want to know people's true character, give them money. Plenty money. It will reveal their character, whether good or bad. If you want to know people's real character, give them power. Power to do as they want. It will reveal their character. Am I communicating? Character is also revealed under pressure. When you are under pressure, your character will come out. Yes. When you are under pressure, your real character will show. That's why we tell people in relationship, don't marry somebody until you see them angry. If you've never seen them angry, you want to marry them, calm down. First see them. When they are under pressure, when they are very angry, watch what they do. It's a revealer of their character, okay? When they are offended, watch how they react. Some will break plate. So we kick TV. Is that not how some men have killed their wife out of anger? The wife did not ascertain the man's character very well when they were doing what? Dating and what? They were busy eating shawarma and ice cream. She did not interview very well. She didn't check. Am I communicating? He didn't check. You were dating, he got angry, he slapped you, twa, twa, twa. And then later he came to apologize with flour. And he sent you money, bank alert. And you foolishly still went ahead to marry him. Now that you are married, he went and bought Koboko. He just hang it in the bedroom. He has now turned you into a punching bag. See. Get wisdom. Don't ignore red flags, warning signs. He has anger problem. It's not only men, some women too have anger problem. Some women, when they are angry, they can break not plate, TV. They'll look for something that will annoy the husband very. Some will even carry their child on the ground. So that it will pain the man very well. Character is revealed under pressure. When people are under pressure, shine your eye. Because what you see is their real character. What you see is what you get. When you are under pressure, how do you behave? What do you say? What do you do? It's a revealer of your character. Am I communicating? So become a person of integrity. Integrity involves adhering to and living by a code of scriptural, ethical, and moral principles and values. Integrity involves adhering to and living by a code of scriptural, ethical, and moral principles and values. You must have scriptural standards by which you live your life. Have verbal integrity. Verbal integrity involves telling the truth, not lies. Don't lie, say the truth. Honesty and transparency. Praise God. Even on phone, say the truth. Say, hey, where are you? You are still at home. Say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm still at home. Don't say I'm on the way when you are still at home. Integrity. Business people, integrity. You bought a product for 25,000. You want to sell it for 59,000. Exorbitant profit is lack of integrity. You are even swearing heaven and earth to the customer. You say, I swear. In fact, is it cost price? Now they sell them for you. I'm not even making any profit. No. Nobody is saying you shouldn't make profit. Everybody is in business to make profit. But you need to be fair. Don't exploit people. Be truthful. Don't lie. If you say the truth, you don't need to remember anything. You know, lies is lame. Lie doesn't have leg, so you need to tell more lies to cover up that lie. Before you know it, will now polymerize into a complex that you cannot handle. Am I communicating? When you say the truth, truth does not need a lawyer. Okay? Doesn't need a lawyer. Can stand, it can defend itself. Praise God. Verbal integrity. Number two, moral integrity. Maintain moral values and standards. Avoid corruption. You can't defeat a corrupt system if you yourself is corrupt. It will not work. Okay? Maintain moral integrity. Praise God. Be the shining light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Next, sexual integrity. Maintain sexual integrity. Shun sexual immorality. Be like Joseph, not Samson. I say be like Joseph. Have the character of Joseph. Joseph was a man of integrity. In Genesis 39:7-12, Mrs. Potiphar eyed Joseph. She lusted after him. And then she wanted him to sleep with her. She offered herself free of charge on a platter. He said, come and lie with me. She offered him free sex. Let me tell you, neighbor, say no to free sex, because it will cost you your destiny. There's nothing like free sex. The price is too high. High! See, the next time Satan tempts you with sexual sin, just think of your future. Think of your glorious destiny of dominion and glory. Just think of it. It's too high. It's too expensive to trade it for momentary pleasure. Praise God. Joseph said, how can I do this wicked thing? He said, my master has put me in charge of everything in this house. There is nothing that he did not put in my custody except you, because you are his wife. Now, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? Don't use euphemism to describe sin. You know, this generation, people are using all manner of euphemism to describe sin. They now call prostitution hookup. They call which one? Bribe as what? Egunje. Grease my palm. They try using words that reduces the wickedness of the sin. But look at Joseph. He said, why should I do this great wickedness? Call sin the name it is. So it is called what? Great wickedness. It's not smartness. It's not a sign that you are a man. I don't chop 5 girls in one day. I'm a man. Shut up! The measurement of being a man is not the number of women you have slept with. You know, some people's mindset needs to be reformatted. This world that we live in. I'll never forget one day in Ola Hospital, one young man came to meet me. He said he's worried. You know, he said that he cannot perform well. I looked at him like this. I said, what do you... Explain more. I knew what he was talking about, but I wanted him... I said, what do you mean by perform? As in, are you an entertainer? You perform show? You know? He said, no. He said, it's not that. He said, doctor, no, be that one, Doki. See, me and my girlfriend now. See, I know they last for long. See, I looked at him. Say, doctor, give me something. Mark, I last for like 1 hour, or 1 hour, 45 minutes. I say, what? I say, are you married? He said, no. I had to sit him down. For the next 45 minutes, he became a special patient. He became a special patient. And I needed to change his mindset. And then when I got talking with him, one of the things I realized is that he had been made to believe that the proof that he is a man is his ability to sleep with so many, have sex with so many women and satisfy them very well when he is not yet married. I had to start teaching him. I had to deconstruct that mindset. You know, sometimes you need to destroy before you can plant. You need to uproot some things to put in the right thing. Am I communicating? You see young men buying a herbal concoction, buying all manner of drugs so that they can perform very well. Perform in bed very well. As if it's the badge of masculinity. Tell your neighbor, no be so. Praise God. I say praise God. So, have sexual integrity. The Bible says, flee fornication. That was what Joseph did. He fled. He didn't stand there reasoning. He didn't stand there forming strong man. He didn't say stand there and pray in tongues. What was God's counsel when it comes to fornication? He said what? Flee. Flee fornication. If I say flee every appearance of evil. Flee. Although mommy water spirit you are chatting in the night. Flee. What demon of lust come for you? Am I communicating? Flee. Don't stand there praying in tongues. Flee. Don't be like Samson. I say don't be like Samson. Kale borondo sofra hatila. Then biblical integrity involves preaching and teaching sound doctrine. Praise God. The seventh pillar of influence is the power of vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Praise God. Give me this in NIV, the power of vision. You want to command influence? Be a passionate visionary. Be a passionate visionary. Capture a vision of God's purpose and plan for your life early and run with it. Capture a vision of God's plan and purpose for your life and pursue it to fulfillment. Praise God. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Give me an amplified. Praise God. Where amplified say, where there is no prophetic revelation, where there is no prophetic redemptive revelation, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Okay, so vision is a necessity for human survival. People cannot live without vision, because vision gives people hope. Vision gives people hope. Hope of a better future. Hope of positive changes. Hope of a better tomorrow. So people feed on hope for them to stay alive. That's why people will gravitate towards any visionary. They will always rally around vision. Am I communicating? Because it's a promise of hope. And people cannot live without hope. People die when they become hopeless. People commit suicide out of severe depression when they become hopeless. Am I communicating? So, visionaries rule and dominate this world. Visionaries dominate this planet. It is a dreamer's world. Vision is a powerful motivator. Vision is the key to motivation. If you are not motivated about living, then you have not yet captured the vision of God's plan and purpose for your life. When you are a visionary, you are auto-motivated. You sleep motivated, you wake up motivated, because there is a vision you are pursuing. Am I communicating? Oh. Have you met people that are tired of living before? Their primary problem is that they have lost hope. Why have they lost hope? Because they cannot see any vision that will give them hope. Am I communicating? Shama rondo sovragadia. It is said that old people, they start think of dying to join their ancestors once there is no any other reason for them to stay alive. Hope you know. Old people, the moment they have lost a vision of living, as in there is nothing for them to wake up every morning to look forward towards that will motivate them, that is when many of them start seeing vision of the grave. Before you know, they die. But if there is a reason, why they will wake up every morning, a picture, something, a goal, as in the something that keeps them hoping for something better in the future, they continue to live. Hallelujah. Vision is a powerful propeller. I say number one, vision is a powerful motivator. Number two is a propeller. It will propel your life. It will propel your destiny in the right direction. Number three, vision is a magnet of men and multitudes. Vision is a magnet of men and multitudes. Vision will make men rally around you to fulfill that vision. When you cast a vision that embodies the collective aspiration, dreams, and desires of the people will gather. Am I communicating? They will gather. Vision is a magnet of multitudes. Vision will separate you from the crowd, then vision will pull to you the right crowd. Am I communicating? Number what now? Four. Vision is a magnet of resources. Resources flow in your direction to fulfill the vision is a magnet of resources. Human resources, material resources, financial resources, they are magnetized towards you by the power of vision. Vision is the mother of movements. Praise God. Farmers are happy now. I say farmers are now happy. Vision is the mother of movements. Every movement that is far-reaching and global is provoked or inspired by a vision. Glory to God. Vision is the mother of movements. Just think of any movement, it was instigated by a vision. It was motivated by a vision. Martin Luther King Jr. led the civil rights movement. Is it in the 1950s or so? I've forgotten. Mid-1950s. He led that civil rights movement. Why? Because he gave them a vision. Glory to God. A vision that will put an end to racial discrimination. A vision of fairness and equality. A vision to put an end to segregation, to discrimination, to seclusion. He had a vision of equality, of human rights. He said, I have a dream that one day my wife and little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by what? The content of their character. He was a visionary. Am I communicating? And he led that movement that led to what? The abolition of all those racial discrimination and seclusion and segregation that was prominent in America those days. In America those days, blacks and whites, they don't sit together. Even in commercial vehicles, they don't sit together inside buses. They don't attend the same schools. They don't mix together. Racism was so terrible until one man stood up and fought it because he caught a vision. He led a movement. Am I communicating? Vision is the mother of movements. Listen to this. Vision is the key to global influence, global impact, and relevance. Vision is the key to global influence, impact, and relevance. You want to impact your world, be a visionary. Champion a cause. Am I communicating? Just like Nehemiah, champion a cause. In Nehemiah 2 verse 17, when God put that burden, that vision in the heart of Nehemiah to rebuild those broken walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah returned. He was the king's corpse bearer. He was comfortable in the palace, but he had captured a vision, a burden in his heart that made him to leave his comfort zone. Am I communicating? And he took up verse 17, Nehemiah 2:17. When he came to his people, then said I unto them, this is Nehemiah speaking, yes, see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Verse 18. He was communicating that vision God puts in his heart. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. That's talking of the grace of God. As also the king's words, we have spoken of, and they said, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up. Am I communicating? He so communicated the vision with clarity, with passion, until the people, they took ownership of the vision. And then they said, let us what? They said, let us rise up and build. Vision is a magnet of men. It's a magnet of resources. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Clarity of vision inspires. Clarity of vision inspires. Vision gives people hope of a better future. Vision gives you direction and bearing in life. The cure for aimless living is to capture a vision of God's plan and purpose. Where there is no vision, the people cast restraint. They run wild. They live anyhow. Anyhow living is a product of visionlessness. Aimless living is a byproduct of visionless living. Am I communicating? The root of indiscipline, immorality, and aimless living is a lack of vision. Vision will bring discipline into your life. Am I communicating? The root of indiscipline is lack of vision. The root of immorality. When you see people messing up, living anyhow, you see a young girl just sleeping around just because of money or whatever. You see a young man just messing up his life and destiny. Am I communicating? The root cause is what? Lack of what? Vision. When you see somebody living aimless life, is lack of vision that is responsible. Vision gives people direction in life. Vision will make you to be disciplined. Vision will give your life a bearing. And vision has the power to unite people to work together. Unity of purpose is the glue, the adhesive that holds people together working. Vision has the power to unite people. It has uniting power. Listen, it is impossible to make a group of people to work together for a long time without a common vision. Impossible. If there is no vision, it's impossible until you cast a vision. Am I communicating? Now that common vision becomes like the glue, the super glue that unites them to work together. Am I communicating? This is important. Vision will give you hope of a better future, provoke positive changes and transformation in your life, in your society, and in your sphere of influence. So you learn to communicate the vision clearly, communicate it concisely, communicate it consistently, and communicate it continually. Hallelujah. Until the people take ownership of it. Habakkuk 2, verse 1 to 3. He said, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. So you run with vision after reading it. Okay, next verse. The vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end it shall speak, it shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not what? Tarry. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah 1:11, God told Jeremiah, son of man, what can you see? He said, I see the rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said, you have seen clearly. You have seen well. He said, are we hasting this my word that you just saw? Are we hasting my word that you have seen? Are we hasting to perform it? Is what you see clearly, what you see clearly, that vision you see clearly, that picture you see clearly, that God will hasten to perform. So the speed of performance is directly proportional to the clarity of the vision. Am I communicating? The clearer the vision, the faster you move. The clearer the vision, the faster your speed of accomplishment. Glory to God. When we say vision, we mean a mental picture of a preferable future. When we say vision, we mean a revelation of God's plan and purpose for your life with your participatory role in it. Am I communicating? This is very important. And then in Genesis 13:14, God told Abraham, after that Lot was departed from him, he said, lift up your eyes northward. Lift up your eyes. Look up now. Lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art. From where you are. Let me tell your neighbor, from where you are right now. Listen. Where you are looking at. The future you can see is the future that will be. What you cannot see, you cannot seize. The size of your vision is the boundary of your blessing. From where thou art, even if you are living inside a hole, even if you are living inside a hole, just make sure your eyes is not seeing there. Your eyes is seeing where you would rather be. Am I communicating? It says, from where you are, look northward, southward, westward, eastward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give, and to thy seed. And Abraham saw the whole world, he saw the whole earth, and God willed it to him, as if he was the only man on the planet. That's the power of vision. Vision powers possession. It powers possession. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give. He didn't say all the land which I show you. He said the land which thou seest. It's one thing for God to give. It's another thing for you to see what he has given. Am I communicating? May God enlarge your visionary capacity. Enlarge your heart. Begin to see big pictures of your future. Elevate your thinking. All this small. Stop thinking small. Stop playing small. Change your mindset. Am I communicating? Have big dreams. Dream with God. I say dream with God. Bite more than you can chew. God will help you chew it. Start dreaming big dreams. All those small dreams, you are thinking of only you, your wife, your children. Who in history has ever impacted the world just with that kind of dream? No. Eradicate every form of mentality. A killer mentality. Have a takeover mentality. Have a dominion mindset. Enlarge your heart. Think in taking over school. Dream. Have a vision to advance the kingdom. To take over your sphere of influence. And to take your city for Jesus. Have a huge vision. Big enough to wake you up every morning. You know, there is a kind of dream you will have. You don't need alarm clock to wake up. The dream becomes the alarm clock. Oh, jeez. I said the dream becomes clock. And dream big. Partner with God in faith and bet it. Hallelujah. What's the first law of dominion? Number one, the law of what? Light. The light of knowledge. Both supernatural light and natural light. Number two, influence. The law of what? Influence. And we say there are some pillars of that influence. What's the first pillar? Growth, transformation. Number two, value and productivity. Number four, three is wisdom and excellence. Number four, wealth and abundance. Number five, the supernatural. Number six, character and integrity. Number what? Seven, the power of what? Vision. Now, the third law of dominion is prayer. Prayer. Daniel 6:10. The priesthood of prayer, boosted by fasting, is a major key to territorial dominion. The priesthood of prayer is a major key to take over the systems of this world, to dominate your sphere of influence. We rule in the place of prayer. Through the power of prayer, you gain and exercise dominion. You gain authority and exercise over your sphere of influence, over your territory. Passionate and persistent prayers produces the power to prevail and dominate your world. Am I communicating? Look at Daniel. This is one of Daniel's secrets of dominion in battle. Am I communicating? Daniel was a man of prayer. And by the way, Daniel was not a pastor. He was not pastoring a church. Daniel was a politician and an excellent administrator. He was a leader by excellence. His mountain of influence, where he was called, is the area of what? Mountain of politics and governance. Yet Daniel had a regimented prayer life. He was a man of prayer. How many kingdom politicians, how many Christians that are politicians, have the kind of prayer life Daniel has? And hope you know that the mountain of politics and governance is a strong mountain. Very strong. If you are not a strong man, you will not survive there. Everybody is using something there. My friend is laughing, Solomon, because he knows. That's why you get to some point, they will tell you to come and join their cult. So if you are a believer and you are just a church goer, religious Christian, you will survive it. Is it that the system will swallow you up? Or you will end up, you see, you cannot beat them, join them. You end up joining their cult. But why don't you become like Daniel? Aya. They passed a law. Daniel's enemies that were not happy with his success and progress in Babylon, they started investigating his life to the point that they went and used magic and jazz and divination to find out the secret of Daniel's dominion. And the Bible said they realized it was his prayer life. Am I communicating? Then look at what they did. They now influenced King Darius. And Darius was Daniel's friend, though. The man loved Daniel. Okay? He loved Daniel. Because Daniel had an excellent spirit and he was a man of notorious integrity and character. Okay? He was faultless. Daniel has both character and competence. He has it. He has character. He has capacity. The king loved him. Now, they realized that the secret of Daniel from the realm of the spirit was the strength of his prayer life. They now say, how do we stop him from praying? The only way is to make the king to sign a bill into law according to the laws of the Medes and Persians that will prevent anybody in that kingdom. Watch this. The main target was Daniel. But look at it. They say nobody should pray for the next 30 days. For the next 30 days. Nobody should pray to any god except the king and his gods. Am I communicating? The Bible says when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And what? His windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. Why towards Jerusalem? Because there is a covenant. Remember when Solomon was dedicating, God said, anybody that will pray facing the direction of where the temple is, God say, I will answer. So there is a covenant of answered prayer. That's why he's praying, opening his window towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. When average believers in our day, where there is no law against prayer, are struggling to pray once, Daniel prayed 3 times. Even in the midst of a law that's banned prayer. 3 times. Because that was the secret of his dominion. Through the laws of prayer, he dominated the ancient kingdom Babylonia. Am I communicating? He dominated it in the realm of the spirit. Daniel was the spiritual gatekeeper. 3 times a day he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. It was his lifestyle. So it was not a one on and off thing. It was his lifestyle. You can't walk in dominion without having a prayer life. Prayer is both an art and a science. Am I communicating? It must become a daily habit, a daily lifestyle. Kasobalatiza. You go mobile with your prayer life. I say you go mobile with it. So beyond the one you did in your closet, as you go about your work, you are a doctor, you are a nurse giving injection, you are praying under your breath. You are doing your work. You know, I remember when I was an house officer, before I started my housemanship as a young doctor that just graduated, we heard a lot of stories that people's spiritual fire usually go off when they do housemanship. We heard all those stories from our seniors. We didn't just hear, we saw it. me and few of my friends, we vowed that we will not be victims of this thing. Whatever, we will not allow our own fire to go down during housemanship. Because during housemanship, you won't have time to go for church service sometimes. So if you are depending only on church service to maintain your fire, you are in trouble. Because there are some calls, some posting you will do, 6 weeks you've not gone to church. So you must design a system. You must have a plan to maintain your prayer life, your fire, and keep it burning. So me, I was already prepared. I had this iPod. I bought an iPod. I loaded it with all the quarrelsome message. You know those kind of message when you want to fight, you play them. Ayagabarakatai. Am I communicating? I loaded them with, I was prepared. Malakutekete. So I got an earpiece. I went about doing as I'm collecting sample. La freketekete. Jele kito kapa. I took, as in I went mobile with my prayer life. I was not depending on free time to be alone in the house, because you may not have that free time. So you inculcate it into your work. Am I communicating? And the thing work, oh, it work like fire. Our fire did not reduce. Praise God. I say praise God. So you must design a system. Say, hey, say this work, organo, they allow us go church. Design a system to keep burning. The fire upon the altar must ever be burning. The fire must never go out. Am I communicating? Lake frike tola banta se preketila rudeke palatai. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus rose up early in the morning and he went up a long while before day and he prayed. There he prayed. In a solitary place he prayed. Am I communicating? Then verse 37, Mark 1, 37. Then they came looking for him. They say, all men seek thee. All men seek thee. Prayer gives you supernatural influence. Supernatural influence. It releases spiritual forces that compels and pulls people. Am I communicating? He said, all men seek thee. Prayer makes you valuable. Prayer has all-round value, not just spiritual value. Prayer has financial value. I hope you know, prayer is the foundation for kingdom financial prosperity. I know there are other keys and laws, but prayer is one of the foundational keys. I know there is place for giving, there is place for diligence, there is place for other things, skill and all of that, but prayer is the foundation. Oh, am I communicating? Prayer has value, spiritual value, financial value, value in your business, your all manner of area. So it's not a waste of time. Glory to God. Prayer activates and releases the supply of the Spirit. Philippians 1:19, Apostle Paul said, I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 32:15, it says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. Prayer activates the outpouring of the Spirit. Prayer activates the supply of the Spirit that causes you to dominate your world, that causes you to take over your world and the systems. Am I communicating? Prayer gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Prayer will even help you to see visions. Vision of God's plan and purpose for your life. Vision from the Word of God. Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So when you call unto God, when you call upon the Lord in prayer, he will show you things. Things concerning his plans and purposes. Things concerning his will. Visions of the future. They are captured in the place of prayer. Am I communicating? Ephesians 1:17, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the power, in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Prayer activates God's wisdom and power to walk in kingdom dominion. The Bible says Christ is the power of God and Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. And the good news is that through prayer, you activate power. And through prayer, you activate wisdom. Through prayer, you activate the power of God into manifestation. And through prayer, you activate the wisdom of God into manifestation that causes you to walk in dominion. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, after the apostles prayed together, Peter and John returned to their company. They reported all those things, the threat and everything. And the Bible says they lifted up their voice in prayer. And after they prayed, the Bible says, with great power, Acts 4:33, gave he the apostle witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. So you can activate great grace to walk in kingdom dominion on the altar of prayer. Am I communicating? James 1 verse 5 is, if any man lack wisdom for dominion, let him ask of the ever-giving God. You can ask and assess wisdom for dominion, the wisdom of God needed for you to dominate your world on the altar of prayer. Am I communicating? James chapter 5 verse 16. James 5 verse 16. Manda kovra palida kapatai. You can't take over a territory without the priesthood of prayer. You can't take over the systems without the priesthood of prayer. It says, the B part says, give me amplified. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The power to take over your world, the power to dominate your world is made available through prayer. And that power works like a dynamite. Am I communicating? Then go back to KJV. King James Version. Manda Roska Vratiska. Give me verse 17. Verse 17. So prayer makes power available. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. He prayed earnestly. It is not professional prayer that produces results. It is passionate prayer. Passionate prayer. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Look at Elijah the prophet. He was controlling the weather and climate, both the physical weather and spiritual weather and climate over Israel, by applying the spiritual laws of prayer. He was dominating the weather and climate by the power of prayer. Next verse 18. The power of prayer. Mala sapaka seteliga brande kepa. And he prayed again. The key of prayer was used to shut the heavens. And then the key prayer was used to open the heavens. After 3.5 years, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Hallelujah. May the prayer grace rest upon you like never before. And the good thing with prayer is that prayer first changes you. It first transforms you. The first ministry of prayer is to change and transform you that is doing the praying. Prayer changes and transforms you before it changes and transforms things in your favor. You know, many people know that prayer changes things. Prayer brings about miraculous changes and all of that. But do you know that prayer changes you even more than the way it changes things? Luke chapter 9 verse 29, concerning Jesus, the Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, his garment became white and glistering. Am I communicating? The glory of God that was inside Jesus was activated on the platform of prayer, and that glory light began to shine forth. The glory of God in his spirit began to find expression. It became so bright that his cloth began to dazzle. Am I communicating? Give me this in amplified. Barakataya. So there is an inner metamorphosis. There is an inner transformation. There is a change from glory to glory. The glory of God, you begin to manifest it when prayer is made. The appearance of his countenance became altered, different. You alter your life and destiny on the altar of prayer. And his raiment became dazzling white, flashing with brilliance of lightning. Hallelujah. So passionate and persistent prayers is necessary to produce the power to prevail and dominate. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostle said, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and what? The ministry of the word. The revival that broke out in Ephesus was not just because Apostle Paul in Acts 19 was not just because he was teaching in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. It was not just the teaching of the word. Paul was doing something in addition to teaching. He said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 15:32. So in the daytime, Paul will teach. In the nighttime, he will pray. He will engage in spiritual warfare. He said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. Ephesus was a wicked city ruled by demons and demoniacal wicked forces. Hope you know, Ephesus had a school of magic. It had a school of magic. The wickedness there was sponsored by evil spirit. Paul needed to deal with those spirits from the realm of the spirit. You see, Paul took over Ephesus through prayers and the teaching of the word. So in the daytime he will teach, in the nighttime he will engage in warfare. It was his epistle to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6:12 that he opened the eyes of the church to the cadres or hierarchy of demons. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. He was speaking from experience when he fought with beasts at Ephesus. In Luke chapter 21, Shabarakatai, verse 37. Look at Jesus. Jesus applied the same principle. He applied the same principle. Watch this. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. And at night, he went out and abode in the mountain that is called Mount Olives. Can you see it? In the daytime, Jesus will teach and preach the gospel. In the nighttime, he will climb mountain to pray. And look at the result, 38. And all the people came early in the morning. Ayagabagada. He dealt with the demonic powers that held them bound in the night. Aya. Pakasu brekete. See, prayer is a major key to spiritual influence. I said, prayer is a major key to what? You know, last year, when we're preparing, we're talking about GICC, I was looking at some people's face. When I was telling them we are going to have a crusade and people will come, some of you were looking at me like Akamu. Some of you were looking at me like Akamu. And then I told Pastor Nenkub something. I said, it will look as if they will not come until we start praying, and then we boost it with fasting. And did they come? They came. See, influence is spiritual. Man is a spirit. Nobody just wakes up and decides to come for a program just like that. Publicity is not enough to bring people. You can do publicity, do billboard. It only creates awareness. At least you are informing people that you are having the program. It creates what? Awareness for them to come. It is spiritual force that must pull them. There is a compelling power that brings them, and that power is released in the place of prayer. Am I communicating? Jesus will teach in the day, at night he will pray, the people will come. And I'm telling you, this year GICC, if you thought you saw something last year, you are joking. This year is going to be bigger and better. The whole city will gather. I said the whole city we gather. We are using Yusuji Event Center. Igo Red. Tell your neighbor Igo Red. So get set. Hallelujah. Parakido se brende ke palatia. Manda braska. Can you pray in tongues for 1 minute? Masha pakata. Rodeki frapakatanas. Ese beletona. Branda kaparonde ki frakapata. Kitose beletona. Andraskapa. Ragatoza brandeke parondeke friko parakatai. Kofrapora mantesi brandekepa. Rakapatosa brandeke parakata. He said the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. You can make power available in the place of prayer. Power to take over. Power to dominate. We rule in the place of prayer. Zebileke tondaka brandeke porakapata. Spiritual forces are set in motion. They are released. They are detonated like a bomb, like a missile. Power for dominion. Kasila bondeke braskapatai. In the name of Jesus. The fourth law is prophetic utterances. Declaration and decrees. That's what I mean by utterances. Prophetic utterances in bracket. Declaration and decrees. Now, there is a difference between declaration and decree. Declaration is your faith speaking. Okay? Faith confession. When you are declaring in faith based on the word of God, it has its own place. But a decree is a word of command given by a superior authority which demands immediate compliance and prompt obedience. A decree is a word of command given by a superior authority which demands immediate compliance and prompt obedience. A decree cannot be ignored. A decree is not for debates and arguments. It is for prompt compliance, prompt obedience. In Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4, it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Kings rule by making decrees. Kings rule by decrees. Kasabata. King rules over their kingdom by decrees and declaration. King rule over their territory, over their domain by their what? Decrees. Am I communicating? You can't walk in dominion with a closed mouth. Katos ketila kapata. A closed mouth equals a closed destiny. You must open your mouth and begin to release like a missile prophetic utterances that will cause you to dominate your world. These words are pregnant with spiritual energy to enforce compliance. Am I communicating? You must learn to prophesy. When we say to prophesy, it means to speak forth words. Words inundated or saturated with God's power under a divine influence. To prophesy means to speak forth words, to utter words. Words that are loaded, inundated with the anointing, inundated with God's power under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? If you want to walk in dominion, you must learn to prophesy. You must release enormous power through those prophetic utterances. You must release enormous power to dominate your world. God created the whole world by his word of power. So, by the word of God in your heart and in your mouth, you will dominate this world. Am I communicating? You learn to pour forth so much spiritual power through those prophetic utterances. Prophetic words are prepackaged with God's power, the power to enforce and effect positive changes in your sphere of influence, in your territory, and in your world. Prophetic words are prepackaged with God's power to enforce and what? Effect positive changes. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to pray. We've talked about prayer. But listen, some of you make the mistake of not prophesying after you pray or during prayer. Through prayer, listen, you make power available. The power to dominate your world. You make it available through prayer. But it is through your prophetic declaration, through your declaration and decrees, that you now channel that power to produce a desired change. With your words, you channel the power that has been made available through prayer. Am I communicating? Angels are waiting on your words. Angels are waiting on your prophetic decrees and declaration in order to carry out those things, in order to effect those changes. Am I communicating? The Bible said the angels, they hearken to the voice of his word. They do his commandment. They hearken, as in they listen to and obey the voice of God's word in your mouth. So you activate and encourage the ministry of angels by what? Your prophetic decrees and declaration. In Job chapter 22, verse 27. Give me Job 22, 27. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. You can't walk in dominion without speaking, without talking. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. He's talking of priesthood here. So you engage in the priesthood of prayer and then giving, sacrifice, okay? Then, verse 28, watch this. And thou shalt decree, thou shalt also decree a thing. What I want you to see is the also. What does it mean? That means in addition to your priesthood of what? Prayer. In addition to your priesthood of prayer and your giving, you should what? Thou shalt decree a thing also. You know, many people do the prayer and giving, but they don't say anything. So they are not getting results. It's showing you how to walk in dominion here. Am I communicating? It says, in addition to your priesthood, you know, through prayer, you make the power available, but it is through your decree that you channel it into manifestation to produce the desired result. The power of God is released through your prophetic decrees and utterances. Am I communicating? Barakata. You hear the testimony from Avalanche of Good News broadcast. All those healing, those deliverance and transformation testimonies. How did it happen? Was I that young man that said he was sick, he was down with pain, and he listened to me this Friday? Is it this Friday? He listened to me on Peace FM, and when I was praying, the power of God traveled through the air, and the healing power of God healed him. Am I communicating? He got up from the bed, totally healed. The pain is gone. How did that happen? Through prophetic what? Or utterances. I channel the power through my prophetic utterances. And the healing power traveled through the air and hit him where he was and produce a healing. I'm showing you how to walk in dominion. And that power dominated sickness in his body. God has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign. Our priestly ministry is the foundation for our kingly ministry. Our kingly authority is rooted in our priesthood. So after engaging in the priesthood of prayer, sacrifice, giving and all of that, he said, don't stop there. The next thing, start decreeing like a king. Start issuing kingly decrees. This is how you release the power. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. Start prophesying over your finances. Stop complaining. Stop start releasing prophetic utterances over your body, over that pain, over that tumor, over that growth. Am I communicating? Start issuing decrees in every area you desire a positive change. Start declaring words over your school, over your sphere of influence, over that business. Katabalatia. Randeke braska pakatai. Am I communicating? What do you mean by things are not working? Rise up like a king and start praying in tongues and then start prophesying. Release prophetic utterances. You will release power that will make it work. This is how to release the power that will make it work. That power will power everything that was not working to make it to work. Go back to that Job 22:28. He said, thou shalt decree a thing also. A decree is a non-negotiable obligation. Non-negotiable command. It must be obeyed. And it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall what? Shine upon your path. Hallelujah. Your declaration determines your manifestation. Your declaration is a conclusion about the situation. Your declaration determines your destination. Parakatoza brandekepa. So you pray in tongues and then you receive rhema. And then as the Holy Ghost quickens and reveals that word to you, what do you do with it? Start what? Declaring it. Start prophesying it. The Bible says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which none of this world knew. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It says, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men, is being revealed to us by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is being revealed to us by what? The Holy Spirit. He said, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. Jump to verse 12. God has revealed them to us, move on, by His Spirit. So the Holy Ghost reveals those deep things of God to us. We have received, move on. It says, we have received the Spirit, not of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us. So the Holy Ghost will bring you revelation of your inheritance. Everything that grace has made available. Everything that Jesus, by His redemptive sacrifice, His substitutionary sacrifice, has made available. He says, now, those things, after they are revealed to us, what should be the next step? Next verse. Which things also we speak. We are not quiet about them. If you want to see them manifest, rise up and start making declaration. For He has said that we may boldly say, Hebrews 13 verse 5, He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with what things you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Amplified puts it in almost triple emphasis. I will never ever leave thee. I will never ever forsake thee. So that we may boldly say. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say. Start saying boldly what He has said to you. What have God told you before? Don't allow contrary circumstances to change your confession, to affect your faith negatively. What God showed you in the dark, shout it from the rooftop. I say, announce it from the rooftop. Regardless of what is happening in the physical, the reality is the truth that God told you. The truth He showed you. Start declaring it. Malika barando sofrakatia. The Lord is my helper. Say with me, the Lord is my helper. It doesn't matter the prices of things. The Lord is my helper. It doesn't matter how bad the economy is. Inflation rate. The Lord is my. It doesn't matter the doctor's diagnosis. The Lord is my. I shall not fear. What can man do to me? Hallelujah. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Kase beletena, randoko vrakatai. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10, is a story of Ezekiel in a vision. The Spirit of God, the hand of the Lord came upon him, carried him in the Spirit to a valley full of dry bones. They were very many and very dry. And God then asked Ezekiel, who was a seer. Ezekiel was a seer prophet. He said, son of man, shall these bones live? And Ezekiel used his prophetic wifey. And rather, he check. He couldn't see anything. And then the Lord said, let me tell you what to do. He said, prophesy to these bones. Am I communicating? I've taught you people before that there are two applications to the prophetic, okay? There is the revelatory dimension of the prophetic, in which God shows you something, you see something, okay? Visions, revelation, etc. Then there is what we'll call the first dimension, the revelatory dimension, is a foretelling. F-O-R-E. Fore, then telling. Then there is a second dimension of prophetic operation that many people are not acquainted with. That one is a forth telling, F-O-R-T-H. That's, you are telling forth. This dimension, you are speaking. You don't need to see anything. You are speaking under a divine influence. You are speaking under the anointing, under the influence, inspiration, and anointing of the Holy Ghost. You are speaking forth words of power. And guess what? This is the creative dimension of the prophetic. This is the creative dimension. And if you study scripture carefully, you will realize that the one that appears spectacular, which is the first revelatory dimension. Do you know that the second dimension is a senior brother to the first dimension? Because you can see something that is not God's will. How do you change it? You need to operate in the second dimension. And then you use that creative dimension to change what you are seeing in the first dimension. Am I communicating? For instance, now I saw you travel, had an accident, and then you died, or you had a fracture. Now, if God showed me that kind of vision, the next thing I will ask myself, is that God's perfect will for you? The answer is no. So what am I to do about it? I'm going to pray, then I will now operate the foretelling dimension, the creative dimension of the prophetic, and then I'm going to change what I just saw. Am I communicating? So that you will not suffer that accident. That's why I said the second dimension is even superior to the first. Like one funny prophet that said, car! He looked at it, he said, ah! He said, I just saw you in a vision. God just showed me demons are sucking your blood every night. Sucking it. Say, man of God. I said, please, so what should I do? He said, ah! What should I do? He said, God just showed me something. I said, what should I do? He said, nothing, you know, just go and be buying blood tonic and be taking. Praise God. See, if all you do now just to see, you are not, you and Babalawo now they the same level. Because native doctors too, they see. Though they use demonic powers, but they cannot change the future. You didn't hear me. Mike, I go house. They don't have the power to change it. Anybody can see now. It takes power to change. Haven't you heard of William Branham? Branham will sit down and operate the second dimension of the prophetic. He will call forth squirrels. His words will create squirrels. Squirrel will drop and start running in a forest. Is that not how God created the world? Which dimension of the prophetic did God operate to create the world? It's a foretelling. God said and God saw. God said. He didn't say God saw first and then he now said. He said, if you want a change of scenery, then produce a change of sound. Hey, sound, power, scenery. If you want the situation of your life to change, then start declaring God's word. Those of you who were around on Friday, Throne of Grace encounter was very hot. Ogbono, get the message, oh. Very powerful. Let me round up this. The last law of dominion. Proceed with prompt actions. Okay? The first law, let's do a summary. The first law is the law of light, the light of knowledge. The second law of dominion is influence. The third law is prayer. The fourth is prophetic utterances. That's declarations and decree. Then the fifth one is what? Proceed with what? Prompt action. Kasabalatia. So you pray. Then you pray to generate power and wisdom. Then you channel it through your prophecies, your prophetic words, your prophetic utterances, your declarations and decrees. You know, Ezekiel, God told him at that valley, he said, prophesy to this bone and assign a future to them. He said, I prophesy as I was commanded. And there was a noise and a shaking. There was a movement in the realm of the spirit. See, when we release prophetic words, things happen. Don't say nothing has changed. Something has changed. Changes begin first in the realm of the spirit before they appear in the physical. There was a noise and a shaking. Bone came together, bone to bone, and then a human being was formed by the power of prophecy, but there was no life. And then he said, prophesy again, prophesy to the four winds, call forth the spirit of life to enter them from the wind. And then he prophesied, and then breath entered the human being, and then there stood a mighty army. Am I communicating? Prophetic words can do work. They have energy. Energy is the ability to do work. So they can get work done. Then I said the fifth one is proceed with what? Prompt action. Now, after prayers and making prophetic decrees, proceed with prompt actions of faith. Actions are a proof of your faith. So don't just sit down there and say, we are taking over. We are taking over. Rise up and start taking action steps to take over. Am I communicating? Action steps of obedience. The corresponding actions of faith is what activate and validate your faith. Your faith is not valid without actions, without corresponding action to show. James 2:17-26, it was Apostle James that made us understand that faith without works is dead. And the works there is not talking of the works of the law, it's talking of what? Corresponding actions of faith. The things you do, motivated and inspired and actuated by the faith that is in your heart. So start making moves. I say start making moves. Start making moves and taking bold steps, courageous steps. Have the courage to take steps in line with your dream. Have the courage to start taking steps in line with that vision in your heart. This is a major key to dominion. Go back to that your dream book. Go back to that your book of visions and plan and start taking daring action steps. Ditch your fears. Doubt your doubts. Overcome inertia. Start doing big things. Aya, let me look at your neighbor. Say, we'll do big things. Now personalize it. Say, I will do big things for the glory of God and for the honor of the name of Jesus. Say it now with boldness as if you mean it. I will do big things. Take that leap of faith. Dare and do big things. You need to be daring. Think big, talk big, and act big in faith. I say think big, talk big, and act big in faith. Start taking giant steps to experience quantum leap. You need to awake. Ephesians 5:14. He said, awake, thou that sleepest. Some of us are sleeping spiritually. We are sleeping in that mountain God have ordained for us to take over. That sphere of influence, that area God have ordained for you to take over, you are sleeping. Look at what the scripture said. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, awake and take over the mountain of media, awake and take over the business world. Am I communicating? Awake and take over. Katabalataya. He said, Christ will give you light. Wake up and take over. Shabalatiza. If you want to take over, you want to do big things, stop consulting small minds. Some of you have big dream. You now went, took it to those your friends that have small minds to analyze it for you. Then by the time you are done talking to them, you are discouraged. When you want to do big things, don't consult small minds. Look for mentors, people that have done it before, people that will encourage you, that will see what you are seeing. Am I communicating? Is that not how some people's dream have died, have gone unfulfilled? Because they were consulting small minds. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, awake. Arise and shine. Isaiah 61. Arise and shine, for your light has come. You know, when he say arise, he's talking of action. Arise is an action word. Arise and shine. Shine your light. Take over your world. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. It says, for the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. If you want to light up your world that is in darkness, if you want the Gentiles to come to your light, you want to become a global solution, you want their kings to come to the brightness of your rising, what's the first word? Arise. Let me tell you, neighbor, arise. Arise. After waking up, he said, awake. The next thing, arise. When you wake up from sleep, you arise. Am I communicating? Shabalatia. Rondo sovrakatia. You know, the hyena or the jackal can be claiming to be king of the jungle as long as the lion is still asleep and the lion has not awakened. And until the lion arise, any other person masquerading as the king of the jungle will continue to shine. True of us, they will continue to claim that they are in charge. But the moment the lion arises and then it roars, everybody, the jackal, the hyena, everybody take cover. Am I communicating? You need to arise and shine your light. Ko barande ge bagadai. Start that business. I just heard for somebody. Stop postponing things. Start that business. Start from your room. If you listen. It's not money you need to start to. It's not money. Some people say, I don't have capital. Listen. What you need to do big things, to start that project, to start that business, liver, courage. Am I communicating? Some of us are not seeing big, we are not getting big testimonies. You are not getting big miracles because you are not taking giant steps yet. It was when the feet of the priest that held the Ark of the Covenant, it was when their feet touched the bank of River Jordan, that was when the thing parted. Am I communicating? There are some miracles that will not happen until you start daring. You start making moves. Bold plans have no value without bold step. You need courage to take action. Even in the face of fear, you need courage. That impetus for action. You need to be strong and very courageous. What if I fail? What if I pass? What if I fail? What if I succeed? All those fears telling you, what if the investment, what if it does not work, what if, what if?
They are telling you the other side of the coin. Turn the coin and let the positive side motivate you. Am I communicating? Don't be afraid to fail. If you try first one, it no work. Try again. And again. And again. The righteous, though he falleth seven times, he shall surely rise again. Because there is something inside him that makes it impossible for him to remain on the ground. That's not where he belongs. 7-Up company, they named this 7-Up because they tried producing that drink six times and they failed. So they got it the seven times. So they say six down, 7-Up. So it's either you learn or you succeed. There's nothing like failure. When it didn't work the first time, gain experience, learn everything from it, do it again. This time around, improve, do it more intelligently. Am I communicating? Never be afraid of trying. You never know what you can do until you try. See, you will never live where you are until you have the courage to take steps. Am I communicating? Make that phone call. Start that business. Get that land. Get that car. Somebody should leave this service hungry. Go back and start daring those things you've been afraid to do that God has put in your heart. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, awake. Arise. Assume command. The third one is assume command. Take charge. Kapalika brandekepa. Receive great grace to dare and do what people say it is impossible. Have the courage to act on your vision, your dreams, and the desires of your heart in line with the will of God. And make sure you are diligent and consistent. Be dogged. Be determined. Be persistent, be persevering in the pursuit of your God-given vision, plans, and purposes. Am I communicating? Radekepa. Refuse to be small. With faith and courage in your heart, rise up and take over your world for Jesus. Rise up with courage and take over your school. Rise up with courage and take over your sphere of influence. Rise up with courage and take over your city. This life, there is this saying, it's so true, that courage is more important in the school of success than intelligence and brilliance. It's so true. It's so true. To the bold belongs the spoil. Life punishes timidity. So if you are timid, life will punish you. But life will reward the courageous. Life will reward the brave with fortune. To the bold belongs the spoil. Am I communicating? I say to the bold belongs the spoil. Rise to your feet. Balika barande kefrike letena. Kapatizo branda kapa. See, it doesn't matter what you know in your head, though. If you don't have liver, you don't have courage to start taking daring step, I'm telling you, you are going nowhere. Potabaka sataya. Randeke brekete. The person that finished with third class but has plenty courage will be more successful in life than a first class student that lacks courage. It takes courage to do new things. It takes courage to pursue your dream. Am I communicating? Sabalatia. I want you to put your hand on your head. Say, Father, the grace for courage to start taking daring steps, action steps, to dare and do the impossible. Let that grace land upon me. Lift up your voice. Let every fear disappear from my heart. Let the spirit of faith swallow up every spirit of fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The grace to arise, the grace to awake. He said, awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Mandeke barakapatai. Lataka bababarondo brakatai. Sabala da bonde gebrakata. Isomala baba baragadai. Ebrekete. Now lift up your voice. Say, Father, I receive overflowing grace. Overflowing grace to live a life of dominion. Overflowing grace to dominate my world. I want you to call that area your area of calling, that your field, the area you know God has called you. If it is politics and governance, call it. If it is business, call it. Leteke balanta. If it is the medical world, say, Father, I receive grace to dominate the medical ethnos. Ajila pakatai. Grace for dominion. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, after they had prayed, that great grace was upon them all. He said, with great power gave he the apostle witness of the resurrection. And great grace was upon them all. After they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, the Bible said the place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And with boldness, the boldness to take over, the boldness, agabata sebeletena. Yes, this year you are buying that land. This year you are building that house. This year you are starting that business. This year you are daring the impossible. You are registering that company, that proposal, that deal. Magaba teke brakatai. Kondo barakatai. Brandeke poragabakatai. Somalaya. This is the year you must be advertised as a millionaire. This is the year you must be advertised as a billionaire. Kabandeke brakatai. You are making progress. You are going forward. You are breaking forth. Barriers are broken. Wisdom for dominion is being released upon you now. Wisdom for dominion. Power to dominate. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works, for through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King, or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.